Welcome back to the Magic Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Cohen. And as always, I am joined by Magic Gaming General Manager and Head Coach Jonah Edwards. And today, our special guest is star point guard Josh Hunter, aka Unguardable, who last season was named the All-Star MVP in both the 3v3 and 5v5 events. So at the time of recording this, Magic Gaming is in the middle of the Switch Open, which is the second 3v3 tournament of the season. They went all the way to the finals of the Slam Open, which is the first tournament. Along that journey, they beat many quality teams, including NetsGC and Gen G. They did beat the eventual champion Lakers in the first series of the finals, but because the Lakers had been undefeated going into that, there was a bracket reset and LA prevailed in that second series. So Jonah, how would you assess how the team has done so far?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to be, you know, obviously happy with the performances thus far. And obviously, we're coming off a couple losses in the last week, and I think some teams around the league are improving. And so it's a constant uphill battle just to, you know, make sure, like, you know, even when you're top of the standings, you know, you're improving every day. So, but I think we're coming along nicely, to be honest. I think we're in a position now where we're starting to improve over the last few days here as well. So, I think we have a good opportunity to go on another run here at the Switch.
Josh, what would you say is different about this year's team versus last year and perhaps even the year before?
The easiest answer for me would probably be just having players that are accustomed to playing the mold. I have two players on my team that are just 3v3 guys. Like, that's what they made the league off of. They're just, it comes natural when you play something all day. When you do something all day, it's just a natural thing. So having two players that's all in about that mode, it just makes it easier.
Yeah, to that point, since they are new teammates of yours in the 2K League, I wanted to get your take, Josh, on both Low-Key Godlike and Jay Boulin. How would you describe both, starting with Low-Key?
Low-Key Godlike is definitely, I think, the most talented player I've ever played with. He's one of a kind. He's a special guy. He's a quiet guy, but he's definitely passionate about what he wants to win. That's clear. He's very passionate about winning. He's passionate about 2K. You get what you get out of him. He really wants to win. And it translated last year into Duke's having the success they had. He's a quiet guy, but he really good at the game.
Already this season, you guys have played two in-person series, one in Charlotte against Hornets VenMGT, and then the other here at the Kia Center against Heat Check Gaming shortly before the Magic played a game against the Sacramento Kings. Not every team is doing this, but Jonah, is this perhaps just the beginning of what's to come as far as teams hosting games? Every time this has been done in the last couple years, I always kind of feel like it adds some flavor, energy, and enthusiasm to the competition, and I personally would love to see it, but what's your perspective on that?
Yeah, I think you hit that spot on, Josh. I think we're going to see more in-person games moving forward. I think, you know, a goal of mine personally would be to, you know, not just have one game, let's have, you know, a full week of group play here in one, maybe even one evening here in Orlando. That would be awesome to have. So that's my take on it, but I think you're going to see more, and you're going to see more from us even this season as we host another team, the Hawks, on June 1st.
Yeah, Josh, you mentioned earlier how Low-Key is more of a quiet type. You, I guess, would be described also maybe as a quiet type. Maybe you have a different view of that, but do you get extra motivated when players from the other team are talking trash in front of you? I feel like this could either motivate or frustrate, but where do you stand on that?
Yeah, I would consider myself a quiet guy. I probably wouldn't speak much if not spoken to. Usually when players talk to me, it's more of I find it funny, like, that they would even speak to me. Like, that might sound crazy, but, like, with the reputation I've had, like, I wouldn't expect people to talk to me. Like, it usually, like, wakes me up. I guess it gets me more motivated to want to win, to have something to say back, or I don't even really have to say nothing when I can show with my play. So I think it's more of a motivational thing than anything. I think when other players talk to me, it's like, now I have to show them what it's really about, type of thing.
Are there players shown around the league that are just simply known for trash talking? I mean, obviously, I'm sure they made the league because they're talented at the game, but are there players that just have that reputation and maybe even gives them an edge? Like, for example, I don't know on draft night if you're thinking about things like that. Like, I don't know if trash talking does give an edge to certain players, but or maybe the opposite. Maybe you don't want trash talking players, but is that a factor when you're selecting players, and are certain players just known more for it?
I think for sure that certain players are known for it. I think over the years, like, certain players have built the reputation, and it's more about just overall intimidation, I think, over the other team too. Like, I think Dave Fry is the perfect example, was like the loudest guy all the way back in season one. I think as he started to lose in season one and two, he toned it down. Then as he started to win at season three, four, and onward, he started to ramp it back up a little bit again. So it certainly goes into like a thought process, right? But I think it's more about just team composition anyway. Like, you can't have a room of five guys that are silent. Somebody has to be vocal, which was why like Jay Boolin was really high on our board, because he's a very just like loud, energetic human. And so, you know, you don't want five guys that are all going to be screaming and yelling in the middle of the game, but you also don't want five guys that are silent. So I think you got to find that blend, and you know, that's really what it is.
I know last year we talked about this during the season, but I'm wondering how you guys are handling it this year. So the league divides the season. The first half is 3v3 and the second half is 5v5, which, by the way, starts May 8th. Jonah, are you guys only focused on 3v3 right now as far as practices and scrimmages, or do you also practice 5v5 in this time, even though we're still over a month away from that beginning?
Yeah, it's a good question, and it's actually kind of an ongoing conversation in our room every day right now, because we want to play more fives, but I think the reality is, like, we're in a position where we view ourselves as a very legitimate contender to win the championship in 3v3, so most of our focus and attention is going to that mode right now. And I think there's some, maybe even, I don't want to say concern, but some thoughts around, hey, like, we don't want to be behind in 5v5. So I think our plan, Josh, is that over the next couple of weeks, there's going to be a couple bye weeks for us, and between the game modes, there's another bye week. And I think our plan is to try to catch up some hours in the 5v5 game mode during that time, and make sure we're in a position where we're gonna be strong at the start. But anyone that knows my tenure and really Magic Gaming in the course of the 2K League, is we've been a sharp team at the start of the season. We haven't always been sharp midway through or towards the end, but we've always been sharp at the beginning. So yeah, I think that's something I'm not truly concerned with. I think we're in a good spot, to be honest, to start 5v5 coming up. Obviously, like you said, it still feels forever away. I mean, 2 months away it's still now, but it's not really, right? It's more like 5 to 6 weeks now. So yeah.
One of the things that gets talked about a lot during game action in 3v3 mode specifically is determining when you want to hunt for the three-pointers and when you want to settle for the twos at the basket, without, of course, giving away any strategy. But this is kind of a question for both of you, Jonah as a coach, and then also Josh while you're playing. What goes into this mindset? Is it all based around where the shot clock is, and then also, of course, what the score is of the game at the time of that particular possession? Because I know a lot of people talk about this in the chat. I know the announcers have discussed this as well a little bit during the broadcast, but actually playing the game and coaching the game, what is sort of the philosophy with that?
That is a really good question. And it's really not a simple answer. I think every game is different. Like, we have key numbers we look at. I think, like, you should be looking at takeover of certain players. Where are you at versus them? Do they have a sharp badge? Do you not? I think those things matter a lot. Like, if Josh has 86% at the bar, 92% in his bar towards takeover, then we're probably going to be looking to get a two to get him takeover. That way we can look to get a three the next time down. So it's really, you know, the way I describe it, and this is how I describe it in post-game interviews sometimes, is it's like, imagine you're down 15 in an NFL game. The analytics say you go for two at the end of the first touchdown. You score a touchdown, you go for two right away. You don't go for two, right? You kick the field goal, and then you go for two the next time. That's what the analytics support. But in 2K, imagine you can run a two-point conversion and then at the end of the play say, let's just take our extra point now, because that's really what we're doing. So as the clock starts to wind down, 8, 7, 6, like, we're calling something to get to the rim or something simple to score just to make sure we still, like, you know, hold our strength in the game. So
That's really what it is. It's like we're trying to be very strategic with having organized late clock. That way we can get the two if the three isn't there, as well as like read the flow of the game.
And Josh, what's your perspective as you're playing the game, as especially as the point guard of the team? How do you kind of go about making sure you're getting the best shot possible in each circumstance?
I genuinely believe in taking anything open. If it's up to me, I would take seven threes and hope I hit all seven threes. If I could get seven open threes, seven good looks at a three, I feel like my team can make them all. So I'm taking a chance. But obviously, being takeover conscious, getting early points, whether it be assists for me or getting dunks, it all boosts your takeover, which in turn like gets your attributes higher. So by the end of the game, if you have takeover revving, it should be easier to get a three if you couldn't get it earlier in the game. So for me, if I could get a three every play, I would try to get one. But at the end of the day, it's a game of 21. If you can, the least amount of time you don't score, the better. So just trying to get points every possession. But the best shot available is probably the best take, in my opinion.
Yeah, I can understand that. Question again for both of you, kind of going around the league a little bit. Which team has surprised you the most, good or bad? What team did you maybe expect either to be better or maybe not as good as they've been so far this season? And Jonah, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I think in threes, the team that surprised me like in a good way the most has probably been Genji. I think they're really solid. Gallo really has a crazy high field goal percentage for what he does. And also I'd say the Celtics in that way too. I think Lecce has been probably the top guard in the game mode, though I don't think has gotten much shine on broadcast, and they haven't had their moment yet, and we'll see if they're able to put something together. But I would say those two teams from the positive light.
Josh, any team stand out for you?
I think for me, a team that stands out positively is probably Atlanta. I think a lot of people going into the season wouldn't have expected them to be so good in three, and they really turned around and they made it to the Final Four winners, so they've done really well for themselves. I think that's a team that has surprised me.
A similar question, what player do you think has exceeded expectations the most or maybe impressed you the most?
Yeah, I just said Lecce, but to be honest, man, this is kind of a random one, but I've been watching the film of the Blazers going into our matchup tomorrow night, and Ubots is like really, really good. Like, very, very surprised at how good he's performed. So that's a name for sure. And then I think personally the Tutak from the T-Wolves has been really, really good. It kind of underrated because they've kind of gone through their struggles over the last few weeks. But I think when they win, he's doing like 90% of the work, which is pretty dang impressive. So those would be a couple names.
Yeah, I think someone.
No, go ahead. Yeah, no, I was going to ask the same question.
Yeah, I think someone for me, because they haven't had the most success in threes over the last 2 years, is Gallo. He's been really good this year, as Jonah mentioned. And throughout the history of threes, he hasn't had like the most success. But this is the most success Gen G has had. They're a really good team. They're top for the 2 seed with us. And he's been playing really well.
Yeah, it just seems like a lot of good players out there, of course, from your group and then throughout the league as well. So it should be interesting to see how the rest of the 3v3 mode develops and unfolds, especially as we approach playoff time. By the way, Jonah, what is we're recording this, like I said, in the middle of the Switch Open. You guys play against the Blazers tomorrow in bracket play, but what is the magic number to clinch a playoff spot? Or have you already clinched? What's the latest with that?
It's a good question. According to my math, and this is what I say every time, according to Jonah math, it's one more series we'll clinch. I still think we're as clinched as the actual Magic are in this moment, which is like pretty much, but technically not. And so there still could be like a disaster could strike and we could maybe look be on the outside looking in. But I think if we win one more series, we're in for sure. I think 130 is 100% guaranteed in, which we're at 120 points at the moment. So if we win tomorrow night, we're going to be in.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, Jonah and Josh, for all your insight. That is all the time we have for this edition of the Magic Gaming Podcast. As always, remember that all the action can be found on Twitch and YouTube. So until next time, thanks again for tuning in.